Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you would like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited today, got my longtime friend Jack Wang from Longhorn Financial with us. As always, please remember Jack's joining the show for informational purposes. This is not financial advice, shouldn't be construed as financial advice. As always, seek a qualified financial person before you make any decisions. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me on.
So, Jack, today I want to talk a little bit about college acceptance letters and financial aid award letters. I've been seeing on Facebook some of my friends, woohoo, my son and daughter get into every school they apply to. That's kind of cool. But what should they be watching for?
Yeah, congratulations to those kids. I see a lot of those social media posts about, you know, little Johnny got in here, little Sally got in there. That's a good thing, right? So at this time of year, parents are usually getting the acceptance letters. Financial aid letters, although some have already come out, usually, not always, but usually they come a little bit later in the year, February, March type timeframe. But on those acceptance letters, you usually see merit scholarships. You know, little Johnny got into XYZ University, and as part of coming here, we're going to offer a however many dollar scholarship, you know, and things like that. So parents often ask me, is that the financial aid? And I have to tell them it is part of the financial aid, but it's not always a complete picture. However, one thing that people don't always realize is that the amount of the merit scholarship is a reflection of how much the school wants the student, right? Not how much the student wants the school, but how much the school wants the student for whatever reason.
So my question to you, Jack, is that negotiable? So, you know, your son applies to college and they offer him $10,000. Can you come back and say we want 12?
You can, and that kind of goes back to figuring out whether or not the school wants you. So, you know, nothing's ever guaranteed, but never hurts that. So, for example, the College Board website has, for every college, the average non-need-based award amount. So non-need-based, a.k.a. merit, typically. And so if, you know, if little Sally got $10,000 in merit scholarships, but the average that the school gives out is $15,000, yes, little Sally got in. But what it also tells me is that the school wasn't really so hot on little Sally. Like she met all the requirements to get in, but they didn't necessarily, you know, they're not, you know, trying to recruit her heavily. So that does limit some of your negotiating powers. So if you go back to the school and say, hey, I'd like to have a little bit more money, your chances of getting money are usually a little bit lower because they didn't necessarily expect her to show up to begin with. On the other hand, let's take the opposite tack. Let's say little Sally got $15,000, but the school typically offers 10. Well, then it's completely opposite for whatever reason, right? It could be standardized test scores. It could be GPA. It could be that she's from a certain geographic area. Could be by major. Whatever the reason is, they really want her. So that sort of adds to your negotiating power, right? So if you say, well, can we get a little bit more? We really can't afford it. They're a little bit more inclined to give it to you, usually. Again, nothing's ever guaranteed, but usually because they really want her for whatever reason. And so schools publish this information. Sometimes it's published on the website. And in fact, sometimes schools will publish the range of scholarships. So for example, one local school on their website publishes that for every kid that gets accepted, they get somewhere between 8 and 21,000, I think it is. It's the range. So obviously if your kid got 10, and you know, range that goes 8 to 21, that doesn't look so good. But if your kid got 20 out of the maximum 21, then it looks phenomenal. Right? So parents do want to be aware of that kind of thing. Let me just also quickly say, and this is going to be kind of blunt, but it's also true because schools know, parents often don't do this kind of research So they get, hey, my kid got XYZ in scholarship. Great. It might not be very much, relatively speaking, but honestly, if parents generally are dumb enough to pay the bill, financial aid officers are smart enough to let them, right? And so if people always want to lower the cost of college, then you generally want to be aware of this stuff. And if you're not aware of this stuff, then financial aid officers will take advantage of that fact.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense and stuff. So now, what are some of the other things families should watch for then?
Yeah, so even just on the merit scholarships, you know, sometimes this is in the letter, sometimes this is on the website, not always, but usually there's some sort of requirement in order to maintain that scholarship. It could be you have to score at least, get at least above a certain GPA. You have to stay within a major or within a college, within a university. Sometimes it's renewable for multiple years, sometimes it's not. But it's good to know all of those things because there's been many instances I'm aware of where the students didn't do whatever it is that they need to do, and as a result, they lost a large chunk of money, right? And that's kind of it's one thing if your kid doesn't do well in school. It's another thing where they don't do well in school, and go, oh, by the way, there goes 10 grand, you know, scholarship. You don't really want that double whammy. That's no fun.
Yeah, no, that's for sure and stuff. Now, Jack, on the financial aid form, there are usually different types of aid. Can you just take a couple minutes to explain some of the common items so people understand what it really is?
Yeah, so when parents get the financial aid letter, and again, some may have already been sent out, you tend to see a combination of things. So you tend to see different scholarships, different grants. Those are nice because you don't have to repay them. But each one can have a different requirement. So, you know, on little Sally's financial aid letter, you might have scholarship A that has certain requirements, and then you have scholarship B that have totally different requirements. That's not uncommon. You might also see direct loans to students. These are loans that students themselves can take out. There may be two types, subsidized versus unsubsidized. With a subsidized portion maximum of $3,500 a year. That's important because are you getting any what's called need-based aid? Subsidized loans are need-based, unsub or not. And then also work study, you know, which is typically working for part of your tuition on a job on campus somewhere. Again, that's a need-based program. So each one of these things have different terms, different requirements, whatever. So there are a number of these things, but you do want to sort of watch out for some of the pros and cons around all these.
So, like you said, it's definitely sounds a little complicated then. You got to make sure that you understand what you're really getting and not just look at the dollar cost, the you know, what it says for dollars.
Oh, yeah, of course. And, in fact, some of these, you know, even what it shows for dollar cost is somewhat subject to interpretation, if you will. Sometimes these letters will talk about what's called direct costs. So direct cost tends to be tuition and fees, room and board, but it does not include things like travel, you know, travel or transportation to that campus. It does not include books or other sort of living expenses and miscellaneous expenses. So, and even to a certain extent, there's some variation room and board because you can get, you know, the smaller meal plan, the bigger meal plan or whatever. So some schools will show a slightly lower direct cost because they're not including some of those other things. And so you think, oh, well, it's going to be this much per year minus this much in aid and loan. So my net cost is going to be this. And then when it actually comes time to pay the bill and start getting books and this and that and the other, you find out that's a lot more, right? So that's one thing to watch out for. Another thing to watch out for are the subsidized loans and the work study. Because those are need-based types of aid, those are dependent upon what the financial aid forms say in the future. And so, you know, parents can, you know, if they take a big bonus at work or do some other things, they sometimes can wipe out their own eligibility for aid. So you get that first year, something happens to the parents, you know, big income or something, and then it goes away for each year thereafter. So you have to be careful about that. And then others, you know, sometimes, you know, again, schools are businesses. You got to remember that. They're marketers. So sometimes they'll say, well, cost is this. We're going to give you this much aid. But then they'll sneak in, hey, you know, wherever the leftover balance is, hey, parents, you can just borrow using a parent loan, parent plus loan. So your net cost is zero. Isn't that awesome, right? Your kid can go to college for zero? Well, not exactly, of course. Right? You still got to borrow whatever that balance is. But, of course, in the moment, on the letter, it looks awesome, right? Oh, yeah, everything's covered. What's the problem? Yeah, not so much. So you got to watch out for those things.
So, but isn't there also a time frame on the decisions? So maybe you get accepted into a number of schools, but I would imagine they must have some sort of cutoff. You know, it's not just an open, hey, if you decide to come, Jack, here's what we're giving you.
Right. There is a cutoff. Typically, it's May 1st. So you have, you know, so you have to send in your decision as well as your deposit, as well as your willingness to accept or turn down the aid. Now, that seems kind of silly, but actually as part of your acceptance decision, right, when the student and the family accept that school, like, yes, we will be going to that school, they also have to accept, say, yes, I'll take this aid, I'll take this aid, and I'll take this aid. Of course you take the aid. I don't know why you wouldn't, but whatever. But typically that's May 1st. I have seen some schools now where they're going with mid-May to June 1st. But that's really less common than the May 1st deadline. So parents do have some time to decide. So parents should not feel anxious about, well, you know, if we don't get back to them right away, we might lose our spot or we might lose this aid. Well, if you got that aid in the acceptance letter or the financial aid letter, you can respond like all the way up to the deadline and you still have your spot and the money. They've committed that to you. All right, so you don't, you know, so you don't have to send in right away. It gives you a little bit more time to think about what you want to do. After that, the bills typically come out over the summer, right? And then they're typically due. So that's really where the rubber meets the road. They're typically due before the school year, like August, September type time frame.
So Jack, how do families figure out how to pay the bill? Because you know you're probably not getting a quote unquote full boat. So you're going to have some expense. How do they figure out what's the best way to pay for that? You know, taking loans, you know, whether the parents are taking them, the child's taking them. What's the advice? Or does it vary?
It really varies. There's so many different situations. You know, if parents and families are going to be borrowing, especially parents, less so on the kids, but if parents are going to borrow for their portion, you know, the parent loan program, you borrow as much as you want. So you got to look at sort of what the future impact is when the payments start. If you have some savings, you know, which account you use first and when, because you want to coordinate some of that stuff to make sure you don't wreck your chances for your own aid. But the most important piece of advice I can give families is get clarity on everyone's expectations. You know, the parents, the kids, and anybody else. What are people willing to pay? Right. And for how many years? And are people willing to go into debt or do they have to use, you know, savings or whatever else? In my all my years doing this, I've yet to have agreement on this between parents. It's just, you know, it's one of those things people say, yeah, we'll pay for college. We'll pay for college. But then when you actually ask them what they mean by that, parents usually have totally different ideas about what they mean for paying for college.
Jack, got about 45 seconds left. Just grab your contact information before we let you run.
Awesome. People can also can always find me on Facebook at facebook.com/longhornfin. People can email me at jack@longhornfin.com.
Jack, really appreciate you taking the time out there to call the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin.
Jason, bye.